Cody.
Yes, James.
You're finally getting a break.
I am getting a break from pro days. You are correct.
I'm kind of sad, man. I'm going to miss him.
I won't. The draft is coming up. Here we go.
Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host, Cody. Cody, how are you today?
Oh, James, I'm great. Thank you for asking. Wow. I'm just being weird today. But no, I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. We're a couple of weeks closer to the NFL draft, man. Only a few weeks away now. We only have two more podcasts after this one before we record our post-NFL draft podcast.
You are correct. And don't forget that Sunday after the draft is when we are going to be going Facebook Live and recording the episode for that week's podcast. We are not doing a Monday recording. We are doing a Sunday night recording and going over the draft and doing it again live on Facebook. So we hope to see you guys there so we can have some interaction, hear some answers from you guys, get what you thought about the draft, and just really enjoy the conversation.
Absolutely. We'll give our opinions, obviously, as well, and how we feel these new young men will fit into the team.
Maybe. Or if they won't.
Yeah, or if they won't. Yeah.
We'll give you that opinion.
Never know.
We're not afraid of that.
Like if they drafted a 6-foot tight end, I would not be for that. But anyway, we have some Steelers by the Lake news. New Facebook like by Mr. Ollie Sigman.
Thank you so much, Ollie. We appreciate that very much.
Getting real close to 350 on the Facebook page, bro.
We are. We are getting very close to 350, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah. I didn't think we'd be at this stage, so this is great. This is great, you know?
You're going to be saying that when we get to 1,000, it's okay.
I will be, yeah. Every time another like happens, it's a kind of a little bit of reality check for me that this has gotten bigger than I thought it would.
It's awesome.
And we really appreciate it from every single one of you. Also, I kind of wanted to shout out our listeners in Kentucky. You've been very loyal since you joined us. And we went like the first year and a half without a single listen in Kentucky. And now I really appreciate it every time I see those downloads in that state.
Listen, they stopped listening. They never listened because they're all Bengals fans. But they started listening because they got a guy, Max Duffy, that we're interested in.
And then some, right?
And then some, and exactly. Then
there's Calvin Taylor on the team. Yep. There's Benny Snell. I mean, this is starting to be a large presence from Kentucky, and it grew this week.
It did. That was very good to see.
Yeah, the defensive lineman formerly of Kentucky, Mr. T.J. Carter, when he was measured at the pro day, which he would have been eligible to be drafted last year. Unfortunately, the pro day did not happen for him. He was able to compete in this year's pro day. He weighed in at 6'4", 289. His 40-yard dash was less than 5.0, which is good for a defensive lineman.
Very good.
And 26 reps on the bench, which is real nice. He's now a Pittsburgh Steeler. This is the fifth guy now because earlier in the week, they signed Mr. Jameer Jones, an outside linebacker, the brother of one Jaron Jones, offensive tackle, currently for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep, and if you can do your math correctly, that means we now have three, count it, 1, 2, 3, sets of brothers on the Pittsburgh Steelers roster. You have the Edmonds brothers with Trey Edmonds and Terrell Edmonds. You have the Watt brothers with Derek Watt and TJ Watt. And now you have Jaron Jones
and
Jameer Jones.
That's fantastic.
That's crazy.
I love it.
Setting some records.
And also, I mean, realistically, Pittsburgh needed some depth at the outside linebacker position. So it's a really good opportunity for Jameer because he doesn't have a lot of competition to go against. It's only a couple guys, Cassius Marsh and then the long snapper Christian Kuntz, who's also an outside linebacker. That's his competition right now. So
yeah, he's got it pretty easy right now.
He's got a good
sure.
chance. He's got a good chance for sure.
Yeah, and as I already said, speaking of Kentucky, we did forget to mention this on last week's episode. We actually sent the special teams coordinator to the Kentucky Pro Day to look at more than likely Max Duffy, that 28-year-old punter who played Australian football.
Absolutely, yeah. So those Aussies, for some reason, have the ability to punt the football like a bajillion yards.
Yeah, because they're punting them spiders.
And he is known for his accuracy. Coffin corner, he even has the ability to put some backspin on the ball to keep it from going in the end zone. That's kind of a rare thing in the NFL.
Yeah, we haven't seen that on Pittsburgh's roster in quite some time. I don't remember the last player I watched that got a good backspin on a punt, so that would be very nice to see.
Very rare. Also, you know who he's friends with, who's a current Pittsburgh Steeler?
Jordan Berry, because that'd be awkward. Yep, oh, no, yep, he is. Jordan Berry, my gosh.
Also Australian. There's a whole like network of Australian kickers and punters.
They have a Facebook page. They have to. They have a group.
I'm sure they do. But there's like legit a school over in Australia where they teach them, converting them from Australian League football to Americans. And a lot of them have then gotten into colleges and gotten degrees for free because they're getting their tuition taken care of, and then made the transition into the pros. There's a number of them in the pros. I want to say there's at least like four or five Australian punters in the NFL right now. So the numbers will most likely grow this upcoming season because a few more of them are draft eligible, man.
That's how it works.
So pretty cool. Just earlier today, the Steelers added yet another defensive lineman to the roster. This gentleman by the name of Abdullah Anderson, in his 2018 pro day, was 6'3", 303 pounds. His 40-yard dash on the wrong side of 5. It was a 5.12. But 32 reps on a bench means he's pretty stout. Might be a nose tackle candidate.
Yeah, yeah, that's phenomenal. 32 reps on the bench is great.
Very strong.
Very strong. And with the addition of him, that it now puts the number to 6 undrafted, basically undrafted free agents, guys that didn't get a chance to do training camp last year or even rookie workouts or anything like that because of COVID. So these guys are all basically undrafted free agents that we'd picked up before the draft.
yeah. This is honestly, a lot of these guys, don't look at them as guys that couldn't make it on teams last year. They didn't get the opportunity. Like Jameer Jones, for example, was on a 90-man roster last year. COVID hits. NFL mandates that everybody has to trim down to 80 or split the practice days up to opposite days. They didn't want to do that, so they went down to 80, and he was one of the 10 guys that got cut. He never even got a chance to try out there. You know, he never got a chance to go through a training camp or a rookie camp or any of those mini camps before COVID just took his chance away. So guys like that are finally going to get a chance, and it's basically the same as taking an undrafted guy after this upcoming draft. But Pittsburgh being very active in this, I believe they're leading the NFL in this right now.
Wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Very smart move. You got to be creative. You got to think outside of the box when you're not getting the normal look at guys. You didn't get to see them like you would at a combine this year. So pro days are your only opportunity. And this is a tremendous opportunity for these guys that they just might not have ever had otherwise.
Yeah, these guys actually now get a chance to practice. But I can tell you one thing. They better not be late.
Don't be late, man.
Don't be late. Juju shared a story about that.
Yeah, man. So back when he was on the team at the same time as Antonio Brown, I know it feels like a century ago.
Feels like a lifetime.
Just a couple years ago it was. He just happened to kind of stroll into practice one day about 10 minutes late, same time as AB, which AB was notorious for this, by the way, and got away with it a lot. But Juju was a young man that was just forming some habits, and Coach Tomlin was not going to let it slide and told him, I quote, "I'm going to find you so hard your kids won't be able to go to college."
That wasn't a threat. That was a promise.
This was a promise for sure. And he was never late to practice ever again. In fact, was known for being at least 10 minutes early. And one day actually stayed late enough to catch, I want to say it was like 330 balls off the jugs machine.
Wow. That's good. We need that. He needs to do that again this year for sure.
Yeah.
And him and Eric Ebron.
No surprise that he had one of the most dependable set of hands on the entire roster. You know, that's what happens when you put in that work. And Juju has very clearly been putting this work in.
Yep. In other news.
Yeah.
We did have James Conner, who is an unrestricted free agent, go visit Arizona recently.
Yeah, today, actually. He's there right now while we're recording.
Come back.
This
for cheap.
This is going to be a likely landing spot for him, unfortunately, as Arizona, commonly referred to as Pittsburgh West, because so many former Steelers end up going there.
Players and coaches alike.
Absolutely. And a lot of times even players going there to coach and start their coaching careers.
Yep.
You find that coaching staff just littered with former Pittsburgh Steelers. So there's a tradition of it. There's plenty of guys that would know him that are there. And a real possibility that this could be the landing spot for one Mr. James Conner. If he does go, which we don't necessarily want to see, you know, obviously he's an Erie guy. We're from the Erie area. we would love to see him continue his career in Pittsburgh just in a healthy manner. You know,
yeah.
A few less injuries would be fantastic. The 1 year that he did stay healthy, he went to the Pro Bowl, so it shows the caliber of player he is. But realistically, if he's going to go somewhere, Arizona is not a bad spot for him. And I hope he gets like $15 million a year. Because then we'll get a third-round pick in a compensatory formula.
That is true. That is true. And he honestly said it would be hard to leave Pittsburgh. So if they give him a not the right size deal, he could still say no and prefer to take a smaller paycheck and stay in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area.
And it might be to his best interest also, just holding out and waiting. You know, if nobody's willing to offer him a good deal, I mean, if he waits long enough, then it won't factor into the compensatory formula anymore. But in his best interest, it might just be wait till everybody goes to camp, wait till some preseason games happen. Running backs are bound to get injured. They do every year. He was a good example of it. And somebody might lose their starter and say, hey, I like James Conner better than the backups. I wasn't worried about it because of my starter, but now my starter's out for the year. Maybe Conner makes more sense, and then they're willing to pay him more than they'd be willing to pay him right now.
Yeah, I could see him. That makes complete sense. The problem is I think if he doesn't go somewhere else, I think he really loves and enjoys the Pittsburgh area too much, or I should just say the state of Pennsylvania, to leave. But we'll have to wait and see. That would make sense a lot, make a lot of sense for him to do that, and very smart for him to do that. So we will keep you updated with what happens with James. And we're super, super excited to see what he can do with his career, but still kind of hope it's kind of in Pittsburgh, just in a healthier format, like James said.
Yeah.
So that's where we're left off with.
So where we're going to transition to from here, the next couple weeks, we're going to do our final mock drafts for you guys before the NFL draft happens. So next week, Cody will do his final mock draft. I'll do mine the week before the NFL draft. But this week, we kind of wanted to touch base a little bit on the different positions and where we feel Pittsburgh should prioritize those positions in the upcoming draft class.
Yeah, so we're going to go right down the list as you would normally look on it on a depth chart. You know, QB, halfback, fullback, tight end, wide receiver. Go through all the offensive positions. We're going to keep it interior O-line, exterior O-line. So guards and centers will be lumped together. And then with linebackers, we will switch the interior linebackers and outside linebackers, keep them separate as well for depth purposes. And then same thing with free and strong safety as well. So starting off with quarterback, the big thing here is recognizing that there's three on the team and none of them right now are eligible for rookie training camp.
Yeah, that and none of them have a contract past this upcoming season. All of them are either on the final year of their deal or only on a one-year deal to begin with. I don't believe that Pittsburgh will address the quarterback position in the first round, but we talked about this before the show, and we do agree that if for some reason one of the top quarterbacks were to slide, Pittsburgh would be foolish not to go ahead and snag him, even if you didn't plan on playing him this season.
Correct.
Even if you were just going to put him behind Ben on the roster and stash him for a year.
We do not plan on this. We also don't think this is going to happen. Let's clarify.
No, and realistically, the way the trades have been going, we figure there's going to be three quarterbacks taken in the first three picks, which will push other ones further up the list. Because you're going to have other teams like, say, New England, who's picking out right around 15, I think, that don't really have a quarterback of the future right now. You know, you bring back Cam Newton. Cam was the worst he's ever been last year. So you expect them to make a move to bring in a young guy. But there's a lot of other teams that you expect to bring in a new quarterback, you know. So we'll see where this all goes. But we expect this to be something that Pittsburgh could address if someone slides. But if no one slides in the first round, I wouldn't expect it before the third or fourth. I could see them taking one of those mid-tier guys like a Kellen Mond, like a Jamie Newman, someone like that, that might still be there in the third or fourth round that they could pick. And then maybe be the backup to whoever the starter is next year. They usually have a history of drafting guys in those mid rounds like that and then keeping them as a backup for a few years. You know, Mason Rudolph has turned out to be a good backup quarterback, had a few decent games starting. And then previous to him, you had the same situation with Landry Jones. Landry had some decent games. Even before that, Josh Dobbs, you know, Josh fourth round pick, had some good games as a spot starter, but none of them really developed like you were hoping to for a possible starter. There could still be potential with Mason Rudolph, but I don't see it with Dwayne Haskins. I would not be surprised if Dwayne Haskins does not make the team.
Yep, I agree 100%. Although I do think that Dwayne Haskins could possibly show us something just with getting his head on straight and realizing Pittsburgh's a second chance. Maybe he comes out and makes a way for him to have a position on the team.
The fourth preseason game is going to be everything to him because most teams are only going to get three, but Pittsburgh gets four because of the Hall of Fame game. You're not going to play Ben Roethlisberger in that game, and you might not play Mason much at all. So Haskins might get a really good opportunity to prove himself in that game. Hopefully the backup offensive lineman can block for him.
That is the truth.
We're going to get to that, though.
We will. Halfback position. Obviously, Pittsburgh still has Benny Snell. They still have Jalen Samuels, sadly, Anthony McFarlane, Trey Edmonds, and also the new acquired Kalen Ballage. Only two of these guys have played with Pittsburgh so far, Anthony McFarlane and Benny Snell. We haven't seen Wendell Smallwood on the field, I don't believe. We saw Trey Edmonds, I guess I should say we saw him a little bit, but not enough to actually make it notable. And then Kalen Ballage being the most recent pickup, I think Kalen Ballage, as of right now, in my opinion, is the number three guy. Maybe not in that order, but he's the third guy you keep on the team with Benny Snell and Anthony McFarlane. I really hope he beats out Jalen Samuels. And Trey Edmonds, sadly, just I haven't seen enough of to warrant keeping him as well.
Yeah, and I'm with you 100% on that. I think your Benny Snell is the leader of the pack right now, but I don't think they're necessarily satisfied with that. Unfortunately, we didn't see enough from Anthony McFarlane quite yet, but there's a lot of potential there, a lot of athleticism. With the mandate from the Rooney family to fix the running game this year, we have a hard time thinking that Pittsburgh will not address the running back position in the first three rounds. Would not be surprised if they do it in the first round, even though I'm not necessarily a fan of the idea. I think maybe you can get a larger impact out of some other positions in the first round. But where we're sitting at right now, we're expecting in the first three rounds a running back to be selected.
Sadly.
If they don't do that, we don't see any point in taking one of the fourth rounder later.
You're not going to get anybody who's going to be good enough to be on the team.
And probably no improvement over the guys currently on the roster.
Correct. No point in doing it after the first three rounds. And if they do, I'm going to be very upset.
Yeah, at that point, you might as well roll with the guys you've got and then just invest more heavily in the offensive line to create bigger holes. You know, so that would make more sense to us. Speaking of guys that make holes, the fullback position, we've got Derek Watt, and that's it.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
That's it. Nothing else.
You know, Derek's a good quality player. They didn't really utilize him much this last season.
Even though he's open for two touchdowns.
Yeah, could have been easy.
Ugh.
Just look his way. He's open! He's waving his arms.
He's
going to
catch it.
Loud.
He's going to catch it. He's a phenomenal receiving back.
He was a multi-purpose fullback, more of a gadget guy where he would go out and catch a lot of passes previous to Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh just didn't really use him much. So hopefully that changes in the upcoming season. The only player that I see as a possible temptation in the fullback is
Ben
Mason.
Yeah. Big Ben Mason.
Ben Mason out of Michigan is a punishing blocker at fullback. I would not be a proponent of them drafting him really in the first six rounds.
Nope.
If he's still there in the seventh and you draft him, okay. All right. You know, I don't think that's a bad move. Maybe you carry two fullbacks for a year and then move on from Derek after his final season.
Or let him ride the practice squad and have him be one of the protected guys.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do that. Just protect him all year long. That's absolutely, that's a really good idea. I didn't think about that, actually. but yeah, so that's the fullback position. Seventh round or not at all is our opinion on that. And then move on to the wide receivers.
Yeah, you absolutely have, you know, Juju, obviously, Chase Claypool, James Washington, and Deontay Johnson, Ray McLeod. Those are the five guys that are guaranteed positions. Nothing's going to change that, second to maybe a trade. If they thought they had enough depth that they could trade James Washington away, that's been actually talked about with some analysts. I don't agree with that idea, but it's there. And then you have the Tyler Simmons, who was recently added, Matthew Sexton, Cody White. Anthony Johnson is still on the team, as well as Deion Kane. All those guys are still on the team. I don't see any reason for picking up a wide receiver in the draft, but Pittsburgh almost always does it. Again, I'd be kind of upset if they drafted a wide receiver. I think it's a waste of pick. You have five guys, arguably six on the depth chart, who aren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Why do it?
Yeah, so the way we look at it, top five are almost solidified, with probably Ray McLeod's position being the only one that I would say is up for battle. Look for Matthew Sexton's name to be thrown out a few times. He's the quick wide receiver that they just signed about a week ago. Ran like a 4.35 40-yard dash and has some good experience in the return game. So if you move forward with a guy like that, you do save a little bit of cap space over Ray, who would be an unrestricted free agent after this upcoming season. So the way we look at this is, don't even touch it in the first three rounds, please, Pittsburgh. But
if you touch it at all, make it worth it.
Yeah, fourth round and later, I could see them doing it. Just because if someone is there that they feel should have been picked much higher than that, they're not going to pass them up.
And they better have ran like a 4.3 40 or be 6.8. Like, there better be a reason to be picking this person up.
Just described a semi Falco. It's like 6.4 and ran a 4.38, I think. Yeah, so, crazy. Yeah. Could be easily somebody like that as a target later on in the draft.
Moving on to tight end, we do have Eric Ebron, Zach Gentry, Kevin Rader. Those guys are all on the team still. And
Dax Raymond?
Dax Raymond is Chris still Jones? There as well. Chris Jones. Chris Jones, Dax Raymond, more than likely not making the team.
Charles Jones, my bad.
Charles Jones, that's fine. Kevin Rader, more than likely going to make the team, if not the practice squad. He's on the practice squad all last season. This is a position that James and I also feel that you could easily address in the first three rounds. And then if you don't do it, then maybe not at all.
Yeah.
I think that the talent's just there. If you're not going to get the talented guys, I'd rather keep Kevin Rader and focus on other positions than waste a pick late in the draft.
I am very much so in favor of Pittsburgh drafting a tight end. And I'm going to say in the first four rounds, right? Because if you can get one with that compensatory pick in the fourth, it's probably going to be an upgrade over Gentry. And you do have to look at the possibility of getting somebody with a little bit better blocking capability, right? The only guy that we know that is a decent blocker at least is going to be Kevin Rader. So if it comes down to blocking ability, Rader's got the edge over Gentry, and Gentry, I guess, has the edge in the receiving category.
Depending on who you pick up.
We don't love the tight end situation beyond Eric Ebron, and Eric Ebron's going into the last year of his deal.
Yeah.
So what do you do past this? I believe Pittsburgh could address this position as early as the first round, but is a very, very real possibility second, third, and fourth round. But once you get past that, is it even going to be an upgrade over who you have on the team?
Probably not.
Probably not, unless you go Luke Farrell from Ohio State, which I think could still be an upgrade over Gentry.
Yeah.
And could possibly be there in a later round. I would still like that pick in a later round than the fourth.
True.
But yeah, tight end is one of those positions we feel should be probably prioritized, not necessarily because you've got to have a starter this year, but you really kind of need one for the year after.
Yeah, that the tight end position is one of four, maybe five positions that we'll talk about that are need to address positions. The next position being interior linemen, centers, and guards. You have the two starting guards. David DeCastro, Kevin Dotson. They're
strongest
they're
the part of the line.
Absolutely strongest part. More than likely have B.J. Finney playing center. J.C. Hassenhauer is backing him up there. And then you also have – actually, excuse me, you don't have much backup in the guard position at all.
No, that's pretty much
that's it. That's it. You have a backup center. So that's definitely the strongest area. You have Brandon Walton from Florida Atlantic, but he's still young. He's a little over 6 foot, 310 pounds. Haven't seen enough out of him to know if he's going to be anything, but interior offensive line is definitely our second position of need. You need to address this in the first three rounds, arguably the first two, I guess. It just kind of depends on how the players fall in the draft. But interior offensive line is probably the least position we have depth in.
Yeah,
second to maybe corner, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, absolutely. And like Cody was saying, you've got two tremendous starting guards. But then the problem becomes that B.J. Finney, even though he is a starter quality, really is a better guard than he is a center. But he's a better center than J.C. Hassenhauer is, who has played some guard, but you really don't want him playing guard.
Unless you teach Kevin Dotson how to snap and put Dotson at center and BJ Finney at guard. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's options, so, at least, I guess.
Yeah, you could move some guys around and make some things happen, but then do you really want Dotson playing center for the first time, you know, in what could be a shortened off season and not a real lot of opportunity in training camp, so they could end up all digital. Yeah. It could be no in-person training camp to practice.
The only thing that's sold here is David DeCastro is the right guard. That's the only thing set in stone.
Yeah, and I would argue that Dotson at left guard is basically set in stone. I don't think they're going to change that.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I would like...
But there's more flexibility there than DeCastro going anywhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to see Dotson at center. Like, I honestly think that might be the best starting interior combo, is moving Dotson to center and then letting Finney play guard where he's a little more natural. But that's where we're at with that. We don't really see any guys that are necessarily first rounders other than Landon Dickerson out of Alabama. If he clears the medical check, then drafting him in the first round makes a lot of sense because he's a tremendous talent. He was doing cartwheels at the Alabama Pro Day, and he just had ACL surgery like 3-4 months ago.
Listen, that's great for your body, the fact that you can do that, but that's a dumb decision to be doing.
Did you see him? I want to say it was Mac Jones was getting interviewed, and he was doing an army crawl.
Yeah, behind him.
He had a photo bomb the interview. It was pretty funny, man. But good to see that he's recovering so well. Could easily be on Pittsburgh's radar, but if not, will not be surprised if they address the center position in the second or third round. I don't really want him to wait longer than that. If you start going fourth round, then it might not be anybody that's any better than BJ Finney.
Yeah, very true. The third position that we say is a necessary pick in the draft, and I kind of lump this all together. That's why I say there's four or five. You could just lump offensive line all together if you really wanted to. It's a massive need. But offensive tackle, you have your starters, Zach Banner and Chukwuma Okorafor. Those guys are hands down going to be starting. Unless you draft somebody first round who could maybe step in for Chukes, I think Zach Banner's going to for sure be starting. And then you have, you know, you have guys like Anthony Coyle, Rashad Coward, who was recently picked up, Jaron Jones, who we already talked about, John LeGlue, and Brandon Walton, as well as Joe Haag.
Yeah,
all Joe those Haag. Guys. I mean, this is the deepest position we have on the team, and there's not a whole lot of quality depth here.
Yeah, that's exactly what the issue is. So Anthony Coyle, you would recognize his name from being called up a few times from the practice squad last year. So he was the next tackle up from the practice squad. But now all of a sudden he might be one of the best backups, which is a problem if he wasn't good enough to be on the team last year. Joe Haag has some experience at both guard and tackle, projects a little more as a tackle. But in the film that he has out there of starting as an offensive tackle, you don't want it. So he's your extra blocking tight end in your goal line situation. He's good in that scenario, but you don't necessarily want him out there against pass rushers on a passing down.
Yeah, the big moving block here as well is the fact that Alejandro Villanueva has not signed with another team yet. There is the potential of him coming back to Pittsburgh. That would be a slight upgrade at the left tackle position. I don't want to say massive because he had one of his worst years ever last year, so I can't say that he's for sure going to come in and be better than Chukes would be. But Chukwuma Okorafor being 23 compared to Alejandro Villanueva being 32, there's pros and cons to each.
Yeah, and my biggest issue with the tackle position, other than the lack of depth with experience or at least quality snaps on tape, is the fact that the two starters we do have only started at the right tackle position. So we've basically got two starting right tackles and no left tackle. Now, obviously, they're going to move one of them unless they go ahead and take an offensive tackle in the first round and play him at the left side, at which point I would...
They'd probably move Banner over, being 6'8",
yeah,
longer arms. They'd probably move Banner to left and then Chukes to right.
That's what I would do. I think Banner has the higher ceiling out of the two of them. And you're going to see more elite athletes on that left side, so you want him handling those bigger guys like the Browns defensive end, Myles Garrett. You want him against guys like that. You don't want a core four doing that because he's just a lot smaller.
Yeah, so moving on to the defensive side of the ball, Now we're going to look at the D-line, specifically nose tackle.
Yeah, let's go start nose tackle with the first. Noses, man. You got Alualu, right? Pittsburgh was lucky enough to get him back on a two-year deal. So the nose tackle position is actually spoken for the next 2 years, which is why the defensive line position, as far as D-tackle or nose tackle anyway, is not really a high priority for us when we're talking about it this year. We honestly don't want Pittsburgh to draft a defensive lineman anymore.
At all.
Not at all. But behind Alualu, you've got Isaiah Bugs, who's played some D-tackle, some D-end. You have last year's rookie Carlos Davis, who ended up jumping above Isaiah Bugs on the depth chart by the end of the year. And then you still have some other guys even behind that. So really, that's not a position where you need to address it. I mean, if you did address it in the first like three or four rounds, it would probably be an upgrade and he'd probably make the team as far as a backup, but you're not going to get him past Alualu anyway. So there's no point in my book. When you go to defensive ends, two best defensive ends that Pittsburgh's had in a long time, right?
Absolute long time. You have Cam Hayward and then the obvious backup guy there, Stephon Tuitt. Those guys are, I shouldn't say backup, the other side of the
bookend,
ball.
Man.
The bookend.
The bookend, that's what you're looking for.
Those guys are probably the best two we've had since thinking back to like Brett Kiesel days.
Kiesel and Aaron Smith combo, yep. Man. That was a hell of a combo.
And then you had freaking Hampton, Casey Hampton at the nose.
Yeah.
This is arguably the best defensive line we've had in years as far as this top three. And then you have guys backing him up. You know, James's favorite player, Henry Mundo.
Yeah. All world player, Henry Mundo.
Yep. You have, you know, TJ Carter, who they just picked up from Kentucky. You also have Chris Wormley. There's depth there. DeMarcus Christmas was recently picked up, 25 years old. I don't know. This is the depth's there and the talent's there. We saw enough out of Henry Mundo last year that even though I hate to say it because it's going to make James joyful more than I want him to see him right now.
Go ahead and say it, Cody.
Henry Mundo's a solid backup.
He is, man.
We have solid backups in this position.
How many defensive ends, how many 280-plus pound defensive ends are on the kick coverage unit in the entire NFL? I'll tell you, there's one. I don't need to look at any footage to know there is one in the NFL that's athletic enough to do it. It's Henry Mundo. He's dang near a lock unless they draft a defensive end in the first couple rounds. But I would expect to see even more progress from Mondo than last year because there was a noticeable difference in Mondo physically from last year to his rookie year.
Oh, correct. Very.
He definitely looked bigger, stronger, and showed it on special teams as far as improving his athleticism as well. So somebody that shows that kind of dedication in the gym reminds you of another position like a certain number two middle linebacker that Pittsburgh might have.
Get out.
No, I'm just saying.
No, I know.
Robert Spillane at middle linebacker. We're going to transition. I don't know if you caught on to that.
Went right over my head.
Robert Spillane had a big transition from his rookie year to his second year and played so well that they felt comfortable getting rid of Vince Williams. And he was that number two middle linebacker, basically. And a lot of this because of an extreme work ethic.
And no fear of running into a man called Derrick Henry.
Yeah, brick wall, no problem. I'll run through it. Like that's his mentality, and you gotta love
break
that.
My shoulder in the process, yeah. But I'll do it.
He's fine. He doesn't care. So with Devin Bush coming back, there is the possibility that Pittsburgh looks to upgrade over Robert Spillane. Realistically, as much as this is a pro Robert Spillane podcast, we do realize that if you drafted a rookie in the first 2 to 3 rounds, he could possibly be an upgrade over Robert Spillane athletically.
Yeah, and there are a ton of guys in this draft at the middle linebacker position that could come in and be a solid number two and really make it impossible for anyone to use their tight ends or running backs against us. And if you heard the barking in the background there a second ago, shameless plug, that was my lovely dog, Noelle. She just wants to be in the podcast today.
Listen, cameo appearance, special guest, L. Appreciate you making a show.
Absolutely. Moving on to outside linebacker.
Let's talk the depth at middle linebacker real quick here. So yeah. Marcus Allen, probably your number three, if not for Ulysses Gilbert III. One of those two will be the number three right now. And that's kind of the other reason that we see inside linebacker being a priority, honestly, because Ulysses Gilbert has had the injury history. Marcus Allen is a converted safety who is not going to fare well against bigger offensive linemen. Then you still got Tigray Scales, who's been on and off the practice squad the last couple of years. So the depth behind those two, not fantastic. And last year we saw the inside linebacker position just get absolutely ravaged with injuries.
That is true. And that is why I forgot to mention this. This is the fourth of the five or third of the four positions that we think Pittsburgh needs to address in the draft.
Yeah, and highly address, right? Like, yeah. these are positions we say should be a priority out of the positions of need. Could be a possible starter, right? If they take one in the first three rounds, the guy could beat out Robert Spillane and be a starter. So that's why we see that as a priority there. Outside linebackers, we love the starters, right?
Yeah, TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith.
What's
both?
Yeah, what's not the love about them? I mean, TJ could be one of the top, if not the top outside linebacker in the entire NFL right now. Finished second place in Defensive Player of the Year voting last year, and deservedly at least of that. Many would say of higher.
Rigged.
Yeah.
I'll say it, and I'm proud.
That's fair. Alex Highsmith really showed a lot of promise as a rookie. Was stout enough against the run. And you know he'll come back stronger because he's going to have the opportunity to be in that Pittsburgh weight room instead of the Charlotte weight room. Big difference there. And you're going to see some development from him. He had a great repertoire of pass rush moves, which it took Bud Dupree 5 years to get the kind of pass rush moves that Alex Highsmith has. So that could very easily be an improvement. But the depth after that is very, very spotty at best, which we touched on this a little bit earlier in the show. You know, you've got the recently acquired Jameer Jones. You have Cassius Marsh, and you have Christian Kuntz as the backups. None of these are guys that you expect to be real difference makers. So Cassius Marsh, probably the biggest lock of the three, just because he's very good on special teams. But we do expect Pittsburgh to address the outside linebacker position, just not highly.
Yeah, this isn't one of those top five positions.
Yeah, and again, unless somebody falls that is not supposed to, we would think probably after the fourth round.
Yeah, more than likely after the fourth.
Yeah, fifth or seventh.
Even an undrafted free agent guy coming in would probably be pretty beneficial.
Yeah, they'll at least do that. We would prefer probably to see somebody drafted because it'll be a little bit higher talent level maybe.
Yep.
But that's where that is. We don't really feel there's a need to upgrade a starter there. Corners or safeties? Which way you want to go?
Let's go corners. This is the fifth position, even though we're going to talk about a big need at the safety position when we get there. The corner position is the fifth and final position that we believe must be addressed in the first four rounds. You have, you know, your starters, Joe Hayden, Cam Sutton. You need three starters in the nickel formation. We are in the nickel majority of the time. So you need that slot cornerback, and right now that's between Justin Lane and James Pierre. And then you have Trevor Williams as well from Penn State, but he's been in the year or been in the league for 5 years. You need more depth there. That's five guys. That's it.
It's not enough bodies even to get through camp, let alone to field a team in the upcoming season. So obviously we're comfortable with Hayden and Sutton, but we only got to see James Pierre play in one game. The team seems to like him. He got snaps over Justin Lane, but that's just a bad sign for Justin Lane, honestly.
Yeah, doesn't help us.
Yeah. So what do you really have? I mean, the way the team is right now, you would expect them to play either Pierre or Lane outside when it comes to nickel and then move Cam Sutton inside. But this is a position that should be addressed in probably the first three rounds, but we'll still accept it in the fourth round just because you can find somebody there, maybe even a starting nickel. You can get a starting nickel corner in the third or fourth round, and he'll be good enough. But if you're going to get somebody that you want to start after next year on the outside, because realistically, Joe Hayden going to the last year of his deal, like, you need to address this position, and they need to actually hit. I mean, Cam Sutton's the first drafted corner by Pittsburgh to hit since Ike Taylor. It's like a 15-year gap of drafting guys, and none of them working out. They've got to improve on it.
Yeah, and they have to improve quick.
Yeah, well, otherwise, you're going to see these AFC North quarterbacks throwing for 400-plus yards on a regular basis on us.
Yeah, these three Heisman Trophy winners that we go up against twice a year.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. And Pittsburgh has the toughest schedule next year, too. I just saw that.
Yeah, and it didn't get any easier when they added Seattle to it.
Nope. Got worse.
Yeah, it sure did. Safety position. Starters are great.
Yeah, Minkah and Terrell Edmunds. Terrell Edmunds coming off probably arguably the best year of his career. They're both in the last year of their contracts. That's bad. That's really bad news for us.
We do expect Pittsburgh to pick up the fifth-year option on at least Minkah Fitzpatrick, maybe on Terrell Edmunds as well, just because Edmunds, based off of how he's played thus far in his career, would qualify for a lower option. He'd only be like $6 million, as to where Minkah would be in like the $9 to $10 million. So you probably bring them both back for an additional year, but the depth is spotty at best. You've got Antoine Brooks Jr., of course, the rookie from last year. There is John Battle, and then the recently acquired safety from the Detroit Lions.
Killebrew.
Miles Killebrew, yeah. Thing is, two of these guys are strong safeties, and John Battle never made it off the practice squad last year. So you really don't have depth at the free safety position, just at the strong safety position. So that could be something they would address. You don't expect... The problem is the free safety types usually all go in the first two rounds, and then everybody else is a strong safety.
Yep.
So it's tough to find a guy later on in the draft with ball skills that would qualify more as a free safety.
Yeah, so safety is still a position of need, just not the top five that we have down. We do expect them to draft somebody. And then as far as the special teams is concerned with kicker, punter, long snapper, Cameron Canada more than likely going to continue to be the long snapper. Jordan Berry is not a for sure in at punter. We've talked about that. The inconsistency that he's had. I would not be surprised if we draft somebody and if in that seventh round. And if we don't, we're easily picking somebody up to come to camp and challenge him a little bit. The only sure in as well, probably Boswell.
Because Boz for president.
Boz for president. Abso-friggin-lutely.
So that gives us a little recap here. If you were counting at home, our positions that we think should be prioritized are going to be interior offensive line, specifically a center-capable player. The cornerback position due to lack of depth, both starting and backup. A middle linebacker as a possible upgrade over Robert Spillane. And then tight end, because there really isn't a number two tight end on the team, and there won't really be anybody under contract after this upcoming season as both Zach Gentry and Eric Ebron's contracts run out. So some depth needed there, and then offensive tackle being the next position on that top priority group.
Yeah, so like we said, look forward to the next 2 weeks being our final two mock drafts. I will be doing mine next week. James will be doing his the following week. We are very excited for that. I also want to give a big shout out to a video game streamer, actually, who has been supporting a bunch of different people and supporting me. And we've had great conversations about Steelers football. And he's a Steelers fan. Actually played D1 middle linebacker before he messed his knee up.
Really?
Yeah, and then went to a Division III school. So his name is, I'm just going to call him Rhino Hawk. That's his, what he goes by on Twitch and social media accounts. If you look up Rhino Hawk on TikTok, he's always doing support, giving people support for small streamers and small stuff like that. And we are super excited to just kind of share conversations with him about Steelers and see where they go. But big shout out to him. If you watch any video game streamers or like to watch TikToks, Rhino Hawk is a good one to watch.
With a nickname like Rhino Hulk, I'm going to guess he used to be able to put up 225 a few times. Dude.
He's a big boy. He's put on a little weight since then, and knows that. But
haven't we all?
COVID, hello. But yeah, huge shout out to him. Really appreciate all the support he's given to me and my streaming career, or pursuit, I should say. And then as well as just the Steelers talks with him have been really, really good. So again, if you guys have done a mock draft, post that to our page on Facebook, please, or tag us in an Instagram post. Send us a message with your draft. We want to talk to you guys about it. We want to be in conversation with you. We still look forward to hearing those or seeing those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you watch your podcasts, listen to your podcasts. Again, we can't thank you guys enough for the support. We never thought we'd be here, and we are continuing to grow our Steelers family. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and TikTok at Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.